flesh torn from human bodies, the remnants of wedding presents, pools of blood, slippers abandoned as hundreds of panicked worshippers fled. No, I'm not talking about Aurangzeb's sack of temples in Varanasi 350 years ago. The week before Holi in 2006, a macabre riot of colour spread out from the courtyard of the Sankat Mochan temple, etched into the lanes by detonating ammonium nitrate and fuel oil packed inside a pressure cooker. 15 minutes later, two more bombs went off at the railway station. 21 people were killed. This week, Indians have been grappling with the centuries-old bitterness over the Gyanvapi Masjid. There's a curious amnesia, though, about a more recent carnage in the city. Even though police in multiple states think they know exactly what happened that spring day in 2006, and at least some of the alleged perpetrators may actually be in prison, no effort is being made to initiate their prosecution. As communal tensions flared across India in the wake of the bombing, police seemed to be acting. Local resident Mohammad Waliullah, a one-time student of the famous seminary in Deoband and imam at a mosque in Phulpur, was sentenced to 10 years in prison for the possession of an assault rifle, grenades and plastic explosive. He wasn't ever convicted of the actual bombing though. The Uttar Pradesh police alleged Waliullah had handed over the explosives and pressure cooker to three Bangladeshi terrorists who've never been identified and now we know may never have actually existed. Like in at least two other important Indian Mujahideen cases, a bombing in Delhi in 2005 and the infamous 7-11 attacks on Mumbai's train system, there is disturbing evidence to show police framed individuals unconnected to the case to placate public opinion and refused to review new evidence as it came to light. The story rests on the testimony of a man who's waiting to be executed. Sadiq Israr Sheikh, one of the 38 men sentenced to death for setting off bombs across Ahmedabad in 2006. Throughout his youth, the Mumbai slum resident recalled in a conversation with the Gujarat police, which, though videotaped, cannot by law be used as evidence in his criminal prosecution, said that he had been communist-minded. Then, he said, the pain that had taken root in my heart after the Babri Masjid episode got nurtured. A relative with links to organized crime, Mujahid Salim Azmi, introduced him to gang lord Asif Raza Khan. In February 2001, Sadiq Sheikh travelled to Pakistan to train with the Lashkar-e-Taiba and on his return had a ringside view of the genesis and rise of the jihadist networks which later came to be called the Indian Mujahideen. In November 2005, documents available with the print record, Sheikh acquired 6 kilograms of ammonium nitrate gel explosive which he later told the National Investigation Agency or NIA about. The explosive had been sent to Mumbai by the Indian Mujahideen's still fugitive Southern Network chief Riaz Shahbandri or Riaz Bhatkar. Indian Mujahideen operative Abu Rashid Ahmed picked it up and sent it to Azamgarh through Sarai Mir resident Shahnawaz Alam. The improvised explosive devices, Sheikh said, were prepared at a rented Indian Mujahideen safe house in Sarai Mir using simple clock-based timers assembled by Arif Badar, an operative who had earlier trained with the Lashkar-e-Taiba in Pakistan. Atif Amin, the group's overall chief, planted the pressure cooker bombs at Sankat Mochan temple along with Ariz Khan. The bombs planted at the railway station were put there by Asad Khan and Mohammad Sarwar Azmi, among others. Well, is this story believable? Andhra Pradesh counter-terrorism investigators arrived at exactly the same conclusions. In a classified dossier, the police reported that reconnaissance for the attacks had been conducted in March 2016. The bombers, it said, travelled to Varanasi by bus on the morning of the bombings, planted the devices and returned home to Sarai Mir. No Bangladeshis. Few of the men named in these reports survive. Atif Amin, the terrorist commander at the core of the Indian Mujahideen network, was killed in a shootout with the Delhi police many years ago. Abu Rashid Ahmad last appeared in an Islamic State propaganda video and is thought to have been killed in Syria. Shahnawaz Alam, similarly, is believed to have died in the siege of Mosul. Ariz Khan, though, is in prison, appealing against the death sentence he was awarded for his role in the encounter in Delhi at Bhatla House. Asad Khan is being prosecuted on terrorism charges linked to Indian Mujahideen attacks. And Mohammad Sarwar Azmi was arrested also for his alleged role in a bombing in Jaipur. There's plenty there for investigators to go on, but that's only if someone starts looking. Egregious disinterest in the truth, you see, has been a motif of several similar cases. 5 years ago, a court sentenced Kamal Sheikh, Faisal Ansari, Ehtisham Siddiqui, Naved Khan and Asif Khan to death for their role in the bombing of Mumbai's suburban train system. 7 other conspirators were handed down life sentences. 1 alleged perpetrator, Wahid Sheikh, was acquitted. Like in the Varanasi case, evidence has long existed to question if those convicted for this crime actually carried it out. In a statement to the Delhi Police's special cell on 20th November 2008, Sadiq Sheikh said he and Atif Amin had, and I quote, prepared the bombs which were kept in 3 local trains in Mumbai in 2006. To the NIA, similarly, Sheikh provided a granular account of how the explosives were made and who planted them. The NIA even stated in court, in a separate prosecution, that the 7-11 bombings were carried out, I quote, by Indian Mujahideen operatives, including but not limited to Sadiq Sheikh, Bada Sajid, which is a nickname for Big Sajid or Muhammad Sajid, Atif Amin and Abu Rashid. Law enforcement officers have asked questions about key elements of the Bombay story, even questioning whether the Govandi chawl, in which local investigators had identified as the bomb factory, actually had enough space to assemble 7 explosive devices. Former Director General of Police Rakesh Maria, who was then leading the investigation into the Indian Mujahideen attacks by Mumbai's crime branch, recorded a confessional statement from Sadiq Sheikh detailing his role in the 7-11 bombings. A second supporting confessional statement was obtained from his associate Arif Badruddin Sheikh. The charge sheet the crime branch filed indicting Sadiq Sheikh before 7-11 special judge Y.D. Shinde remains unopened more than a decade on. The appeals of the accused are still pending in the High Court. Evidence showing the 3 Kashmiri men charged with carrying out blasts in New Delhi a day before Diwali in 2005, which the Indian Mujahideen took responsibility for, was similarly ignored. The Andhra Pradesh police said that suspects had revealed during their interrogations that the Delhi bombings had been carried out by Atif Amin, but the Delhi police never followed up. Eventually, 2 Kashmiri men of those charged were acquitted, and the one who was convicted was found guilty of a terrorism charge unconnected to the bombing. Like historical grievances, this depressing record suggests terrorism cases aren't primarily concerned with the truth of what happened. Instead, the issue of terrorism has been used as a political tool which serves to sunder communities and consolidate communal resentments. The manifest failure to deliver justice engenders crazy conspiracy theories and toxic anger among both Muslims and Hindus. That's more lethal in the long term than any bombs the Indian Mujahideen ever planted. The real victims of the Varanasi bombing investigation has been the idea of justice.